You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know.
Hello, Wisconsin! I feel like it's that 70s show, you know? That was like a big source of pride for all of us here in the Badger State. Hello, Wisconsin! So you are listening to The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker here on the Civic Media Network. I am so excited to bring this week's guest because it's Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take. She commentator extraordinaire. She's on all the socials. She's a jury consultant, attorney, contributor. She's been on CNN, Newsmax, Fox News, in the Lion's Den, News Nation. And so I saw you first. I think it was one of the videos that was dealing with immigration and some of the ICE stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And like I thought, I'm like, oh, this, she's awesome. You know,
thank
stuff.
You so much. Yeah.
So how did you get to start doing all of this?
So that is a little bit of a long story because
we're here for it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that because like we were saying before, usually when I talk, I get 90 seconds and no more than that. So I'm very happy to be able to explain what I think. So thank you for the opportunity to do that. So I'm a lawyer. And when I was in law school, I studied child welfare and I wanted to do policy. Like I work for DFACS in the Office of the Child Advocate, which is like the Child Protective Services. And that's what I wanted to do was like do policy within a state or federal policy on child welfare stuff. And then I ended up needing to take care of some family financially. And so I got a job doing what I knew how to do, litigating, because that's what my dad did growing up. And so once I got married and got settled down, I knew that I wanted to make a change, but I didn't know how to do it or what to do. And so it started off actually as sort of shifting into jury consulting. So my husband is 20 years older than me, but he's a lawyer too. And he's been doing this 20 years longer than me. And we were picking a jury together one day and he said, let me see your notes. So I showed it to him and he said, these are the same as mine. And I've been doing this 20 years longer than you. You should do this for a living. So I did. So I really got to understand human nature and human choice theory and demographics, and that sort of eased its way into politics because I was volunteering for my local state senator and they needed a speechwriter for their next legislative session. So I started doing that.
Wow.
And I loved that. I liked the tight deadlines and I liked doing the research on all the specific issues because you have to know how you feel really strongly in order to be able to write for somebody else so that you can separate out the two. And I'm also a drummer. So
shut up.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So am I. Yes.
That's awesome. I got that vibe actually earlier. But because when you're a drummer and a speechwriter, it makes sense because you're catching somebody else's rhythm when they're speaking. Yep. So you can catch their cadence. And so that really helped too. So all of that ended up being sort of like learning persuasion, you know, like whether it's a closing argument or a speech or whatever, it's still trying to get people to choose your side. And then around that time, the Trump trial here with Fani Willis started up and a local news network, it was national, but it was local to here, called Scripps News, had called me their jury consultant commentator. And I loved it. I loved teaching people stuff about human nature. And then I wanted to get more involved in politics because I really didn't like what I was seeing. And I started just moving down that pathway. And I had a friend who was, in another life was a news anchor. So she hooked me up with as many people as she could. And then it sort of just all went from there.
Yeah. And you kind of blew up. I mean, you have took a
thank you.
Crap ton of followers. We're talking with Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take. And I think, you know, it's interesting from the lawyer standpoint and seeing politics, you know, on this show. So I used to be the chairman of the Brown County Republican Party.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, and I left the party because they're crazy. I was someone who was a fiscal conservative with a social conscience. I think that mm-hmm. government should not spend more than it has. And I think that if two men want to get married, then they should absolutely do that. And I thought that there was a place for me in the Republican Party. And yeah. It turns out there's not, you know. I think when it comes to politics today, it's fact is gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as a lawyer, you deal so much in what's true and what's not.
Yes.
Where is that today?
Yeah. So that makes me crazy. So my stepdad and I are really close, and he was a doctor. And so I was talking to him about it one day, and I was saying, you know, like, no matter how many facts I show a MAGA person, a Trump supporter, it doesn't matter. They still won't listen to me. And he said, it's like a smoker. It's like if I show someone all these facts about smoking, it's not going to change their perspective on it. And it's interesting because addiction and identity seem to have similar fundamentals, right? Because people have wrapped their identity up in MAGA. And so, yes. And so they're, you know, if you want to try to undo that, facts is a really difficult way to get through to somebody's yeah. heart that way. And once it's sort of, you know, meshed into your identity, whatever your political beliefs are, then if someone presents you with a fact that contradicts what you think and what you believe to be true in your heart and what everyone around you believes to be true, it requires an unraveling because you have to go, well, what did I believe before? What else isn't true? And so the brain is actually programmed to reject that information that's making you uncomfortable. Like that's the cognitive dissonance process. And so they reject that information that's making you feel uncomfortable. And then weirdly enough, the reward center of your brain is triggered. So your brain is literally wired to reject facts if it makes you question your identity. So that is a really, really difficult piece here. So the success that I've had in talking to Republicans and MAGA people has not been necessarily with presenting facts. If I want to do a mic drop, I'm going with the facts because the facts are on your side. Like if in the law or in at trial, they say, if the law's on your side, argue the law. If the facts are on your side, argue the facts, right? In this case, both are on our sides. Because what's happening and what should be happening are you know, both in our favor, or on the Democrats' favor. The problem is what we're dealing with is an emotional issue. And actually, people think that that's like a totally separate thing, but it actually is underlying every political decision and really gut level decision making in general, because it's emotional. So the facts thing is one that is constantly frustrating to me. And if I'm working with somebody who I find to be disingenuous on the other side, which isn't very often, like I will drop the facts on them in a way that they can't fight back. But if it's a true believer, like if it's somebody who truly and honestly believes what they're saying, I'm not going to do that. We're going to have an honest discussion about what they think and how they feel so that I can get to the piece where they're forced to go, okay, then actually what's happening doesn't coincide with what I believe.
Yeah, we're talking with Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take. One of the things that's interesting is, you know, I kind of back in the day, I said that Barack Obama was so successful because, in part, he made voting really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said about Donald Trump is he made voting who they are.
Yes.
So you know what I mean? And so it's
absolutely.
Like, and I don't know how that changes. Like who is Republican Party? They have sucked so closely with that guy. I don't know what happens next, because we've seen that every time that Trump is not on the ballot, Republicans struggle.
They do. And it's hard because the Democrats focused on the wrong people when they tried to get Kamala to win, because they thought that they'd be able to bring out that one third of Americans who don't vote. Because one third of Americans that usually doesn't vote was broken into when Obama became president. And that would be like the new generation that just become voters and people of color. And that's actually the strategy now that Jasmine Crockett is having. And I don't want them to go down that rabbit hole again, because if you do, you're discounting the fact that the reason why these folks came out was because they were inspired, right? Just like with Trump, even though I think that it was built on a foundation of lies. They were inspired to go do that. And if what you're going to do is try to scare people into voting, these people already don't believe that their vote matters. So if you are telling them, like, you better go do this or something bad's going to happen, that's not going to motivate them, because they already think it's like what they do doesn't matter. You're going to have to inspire them to go out and see a future where their life is easier. And until you do that, you're going to have to focus on the swing voters, because the swing voters are the ones who are already going to come out. And
are they available?
Like, that's the thing.
It's so narrow.
So there are a lot more available than people realize.
Really?
So people think that swing voters vote based on kitchen table issues. And I think that's false.
Okay.
I think swing voters, if they did vote on kitchen table issues, then they would know who to choose, because each side deals with those issues totally differently, right? They have a completely different plan on each side for those things. So it would be easy to choose which candidate they wanted to vote for if that were the case. What I think they really don't understand is who to trust, who they can trust.
Oh my God.
And so, you know, if they are put in a position where they hear from both candidates and they still don't know who to vote for, like they've heard their proposals, it's because they don't know who they can trust to do the right thing when nobody's watching.
You know, that's freaking fascinating, because in any conversation that I've had with, you know, candidates now that I've been helping out, and I've it's such an easy argument if you're going up against a Republican, in my opinion, right? And it's he's hurting you and I'm going to stop it.
Right.
And like, I mean, because there's so many different ways to skin a cat. There's, and both sides, they're going, you know, oh my God, I could go.
It is
because, you know, Republicans will run on things like, oh, we support our veterans, and oh, we want to be good with tax dollars. Both sides want to do that. One side is like extreme and crazy, and the other side is really not. And they're trying to. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's frustrating.
I know. And the thing is, like, if I'm having an argument with a true believer, I can't, like, I have learned to tone down my language and to temper my feelings. Because it's really hard. That's and I couldn't do it in the beginning. Like, I practiced on TikTok for like 6 months before I did it on television, because it's really difficult, you know, and I have to learn certain words will trigger people, because if I want them to come to my side, I can't just walk away and be like, you're an idiot. You know, like, you know, I'll feel better. I'll feel like I will have expressed myself, but I'm not switching people. And I think that there are a lot of people who were actually swing voters. And some folks thought that, you know, if someone even considered voting for Donald Trump, if that was even an option for them, that they were lost to the Democratic Party, that wasn't even somebody we could consider. But there were a lot of people who were back and forth, way more than we estimated. And that should have been our topic all along.
Yeah, we're sitting here with Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take. We're going to talk about messaging here in the next segment. Stick around, because this is going to get good. It's already been good, but hey, this is going to be cool. So thank you so much for joining us, and we will be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mind is dead. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't going to make it with anyone anyhow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. It's very funny. So my brother, we joke about this song because my brother is a proud gay man, and he listens to that song and says, "Excuse me, while I kiss this guy."
Yes,
it's very funny. So shout out to John. Yes,
I love it.
Going on some tangents here. Madeline Somerville is joining us for Maddie's Hot Take, commentator extraordinary. I'm so glad that you're here because there are some questions and some perspectives that you are an expert that is uniquely positioned to kind of handle some of this information. So
thank you.
We talk about messaging and some of the stuff that just like gets under my skin that the Republicans do use. Mm-hmm. Everything from like just saying the Democrat Party instead of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Some of the terms like Jim Jordan was on CNN doing the State of the Union stuff and saying, everyone knows that Trump didn't do anything with Epstein. Like all of those. Yeah, he said that. It's great. Yeah, like how dumb do you think we are? But the degree that they gaslight and like the little things, because I'm in sales and presentation is everything. Even the littlest thing, like the Democrat Party versus the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit or a lot of it?
Yeah. So Trump is the king of messaging. I think that's how he won the election both times, because he is absurdly good at it. And for somebody like me who studies persuasion tactics and messaging, I mean, I see through all of it. That's the reason why I started doing this, was because I was like, no, now I know all of the hidden stuff that allows the bad guys to win. And like, obviously, you know that it's subjective, but not really. Like,
yeah, right.
And like, I see through it, and I want people to be able to see that and understand it. He is infinitely better at it than the Democrats. Infinitely better at it.
So why do they do the things like that? Like saying the Democrat Party?
Oh, because it aggravates liberals and it's fun for them. They're trolls. Like they are trying to get under our skin, because it's like, remember in the State of the Union when he pointed at he pointed at our side and he was like, these guys are crazy.
Yeah.
Right. That was the whole point of
bad for America. You know? Yeah.
Right. That was the whole point of the commercial, like the trans commercial last year. It wasn't that like, that was the number one thing he was running on, because you would think that that's what like your top commercial would have in it. It was because in their minds, it characterized Democrats as crazy, right? It characterized them as, or us as, having a different like thought process, different values that other people that they couldn't even relate to, right? And like, we could have just as easily had, you know, like a Bible commercial or something where, you know, Jesus says love thy neighbor, where
it's pretty clear about that stuff. Yeah,
right? It's like very clear. Like super clear.
Yeah.
And it's so funny when people are like, that's not what he meant. I'm like, yeah, but that's what he said.
You're right. Right. Yeah. No, I have relatives and all of that kind of fall into that category too.
We all do, you know, but he's exceptional at it. And he, like, I could give you an example, on immigration. So every single time that I could possibly find, right. And I spent weeks doing this research. I could not find a single time where he brought up illegal immigrants, and I couldn't find a time when he brought up the word immigrant where he didn't also say they're rapists, they're murderers, they're criminals, they're emptying their mental prisons and mental institutions. He, like, that's repetition. He says it over and over and over and over again, to where now if I show you a fact where it says actually less than 1% of illegal immigrants in this country have ever been arrested for a violent crime, like, people, they can't even process that,
right?
Because all they've heard is that cognitive association, and trying to break that after you've heard it a million times, it's the same way like an abuser treats someone who they're abusing. Like, you tell them that they're, you know, terrible a million times, they'll believe it whether it's true or not. And so, I mean, that's the flood the zone tactic. He's just, and that, like, when he's standing up there showing pictures of all these criminals, right? that exists, it's like, okay, well, actually less than 5% of the people who are currently in ICE detention have ever committed a violent crime, right? He's trying to control the narrative. Like, this is why we're doing this. These people here. And
the worst of the worst.
Right. And the reason why is because it allows people who believe him to put the humanity of the people who are being affected out of their minds. So where right. They don't have to even think, they don't have to consider what they're doing is wrong. And they don't have to consider that real people are involved.
So how do, like, and I know this is probably, you know, a discussion for the next segment, but like when Democrats struggle with, because they did struggle with like the trans debate.
Yeah.
You know, and in reality, that's like not even 0.1% of the athletes that are playing in college or high school. Yeah. But then they made Riley Gaines this hero who, you know, they think that they made it look right. Like there are trans athletes kicking the bleep out of all the girls out there.
Yeah.
How do you fight that?
I mean, it's
because
it's,
the facts and the laws are on our side. So like,
absolutely. Well, I think that the Republicans don't own the phrase, like they don't own freedom. Right. I don't understand why we don't get to capture that back, because having personal freedoms is also an element of freedom. I don't know why they've laid claim to that word. We need to take it back. Like when I was in the Georgia legislature and I was writing speeches, nobody listened to me. But I was like, if they have the faith and freedom breakfast, let's have the hope and liberty breakfast. Right. We care about those things, too. It's just a reframe.
Right. Yeah, that's we're talking with Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take. We're going to continue this discussion. And talk about trust in institutions and all those wonderful things coming up right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around. Yeah, see, that's in my head now. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Begger. We're sitting down with Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take. You can find her on like all of the socials. So she's I like one of my favorite follows, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. Just search Maddie's Hot Take, and you will find her, and you will thank me for it later.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're talking about messaging, because that's kind of your thing. She's, you know, you've done jury consulting and you've picked people. And so you really, your job is to get in people's minds and think how they make a decision, which
exactly.
You know, I kind of do that. You know, I own a car dealership. And so that's kind of what we do here.
Yeah.
You know,
sales is a big part of that.
Yes. I just don't have a degree to show it. No, not in like jury anything or legal.
I don't have a degree in it either.
Really?
Oh, totally. Like I watched people do it. The first time I did jury selection, I YouTubed it.
Hell yeah.
I swear to you, I YouTubed
That's awesome.
It. Like I watched people do it for like 6 months, and I would watch people give their answers, like potential jurors give their answers to questions. And then I would make judgments about their body language and about like the kind of words that they chose. And then once they get struck, I'd chase them down the hall and see if I was right. Like I just kind of calibrated my intuition that way. I took a body language class like online, you know, but I know it's a big word, but I'm an empath. So I feel other people. So when I took the body language class, it was really more for me to just put words to what I was already feeling, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
So I made a business out of the gift that I have, which is just to heal people, which sometimes is horrible, but sometimes it's great. So
nice. No, that's cool. And you know, that kind of coincides with a lot of the big things that I kind of want to talk about, you know, messaging and all of that.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, Democrat versus Democratic and all of that. But one of the things that is so frustrating is, you know, the gaslighting. We're talking a little bit about what, you know, Jim Jordan, everybody knows. Holy balls, they say that all the freaking time.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows that Trump didn't do anything.
People have said.
Right.
Yeah.
What is the deal with that?
So with the everybody knows it is known Game of Thrones thing, They do that because it is a persuasion tactic. So let me tell you this study that I know about, actually, because this will help explain it. So you know how in hotel rooms, they want you to save water. And so they like make you use your towel multiple times, and they'll put like a little sign up about it.
Yes.
There's this study where they tried three different signs to try to get people to use their towel less, or their towel one more time. And there were two signs. One was like, you know, you'll save this many gallons of water a year if everybody in this room does this. And then another one was just like it. But the third one said, like, 86% of people who stayed in this room before you used their towel multiple times. And that one was far more successful than the other two. Why? Because the way that the brain is constructed, it takes the path of least resistance every time. It wants to... It works as efficiently as possible. And so if it thinks that someone else has already thought this issue through and made a decision about it, it will naturally try to adopt that perspective. Unless you've trained it not to do that, you know, and you're the kind of person that's always questioning, then you're more likely to do something because someone else did it, because it requires you to not have to think about it. And that's just human nature. Isn't that crazy? So when Jordan says, like, you know, everybody knows this, people already know it, everybody's been saying this, it's like, well, if everybody's saying it, you know, it's an easier pathway. Some people are like, I don't know if Trump's thinking that deeply about what he's saying. I don't know. This is why we lose. This
I was wondering about that.
Because this is his thing. Messaging is his thing. Does he mouth off sometimes? Sure. But his words are calculated and carefully crafted all the time.
So... my theory was that, so I would love to hear what you think, because I've said this a few times, that Trump is, I thought that he was an idiot, but like, and he was completely and totally unpolished. Mm-hmm. And so what made me nervous wasn't necessarily Trump, because you know what you get.
Yeah.
What makes me nervous is the next person, you know, is it JD Vance or whoever, because they're going to be polished. They're going to be that slick salesman that can do all this harm, and man, are they going to make it look like it's the greatest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. And so.
So you think that Trump is, he is smart.
No, I just think he's really good at messaging.
Okay.
I just think he's a really good manipulator, because he's a narcissist, and he's been, when you're a narcissist and you're that age, you've been training to do that your entire life.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he read the greatest manipulators of all time, you know, like he had Mein Kampf by his bed, you know, like he's been studying this his whole life.
I didn't know it. That's...
Yeah. I mean, that's what Melania said, or one of his other wives.
One of the other ones.
You know, whichever one, I don't know, one of them.
But and like, so then we kind of go down and look at some of the things that have happened during, I mean, even just this year, because my theory, again, it was Trump 1.0. Mm-hmm. We had some people that kind of kept it on the rails. Like they, you know, we had Rex Tillerson, who, I mean, like, you know, I think there was a moral compass there.
It was crazy because I hate oil companies specifically, but magically, he like rose from the muck and dirt to do the right thing. And I was like, I underestimated you, sir.
Right. And then, so this time around, there's like deeply unserious people given deeply serious jobs. And, you know, you look at the Kash Patels and the Department of War, you know, like, I don't know what is the most dangerous thing to come from this, whether it's, you know, chipping away at the independence of the judiciary, freedom of the press. Where are we right now?
Yeah. So I have so many things that I want to say. Like, I think that he has gone out of his way deliberately to undermine the American people's trust in our institutions and to undermine trust in experts. Like, don't trust the lawyers that are telling you what the law is. They call them like career bureaucrats. And it's like, yeah, maybe the person who's been in this position for 25 years, we should actually listen to. Don't listen to them. Listen to me. Right. I'm the only one, he says, you know, that's looking
out. Politics is the only business where experience is like frowned upon.
Right. Right. So, you know, and when it comes to appointing people who are obviously unqualified for the positions that they're in, I feel like that serves multiple functions. So And generally, as if you want to be your own political analyst, understand that people are anticipating already what your reaction is going to be to this. And most of the time they're going to be right. Yeah. So you can kind of calculate, they're always a few steps ahead in whatever's happening. And again, I think that the Democrats have underestimated Trump's ability to do that, because there is so much corporate money riding on Trump's success, so much. And if you think that those gajillionaires are leaving their businesses to chance, you're wrong. Like, they are not leaving any options on the table. They will calculate out every chess move to see what the public is going to accept and what they're not going to accept. And so when you put people in those positions that are super unqualified, what are you actually doing, right? So you're underneath it all, you're trying to destroy the system, right? You're trying to make it come crumbling down. And there are so many people who are the ideologues in this arena who have said that that's their goal. And it's sad, because the figureheads that they have are obviously figureheads. They're just to create drama. They're just drama figures. They're telling us a story and we're following along. And I mean, Trump knew that Epstein was going to happen. Like, he knew that people were going to be pissed off about what he was going to do with ICE. All of this was planned. And so in the meantime, they have these fun characters for us to watch that are going to, again, make the liberals nuts, because we know they're unqualified. But then he gets to stand over here and be like, see, they're losing their minds. They're crazy. He trapped us. Like, it's complicated, but ultimately it's like very Truman Show, if you've ever seen that movie.
Mm-mm. Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Explain that. Yeah. Yeah. So, and like when it comes to all of these other things that he does, is I say that what it's like Phil Spector's wall of sound, where he
wall of sound.
Yeah. You know, yeah. With musician, right?
Yes.
But like, there's so much, from, you know, putting his stupid face on the Kennedy Center and
stupid face.
Oh my God, it's so stupid.
So stupid.
But like
no
that.
Regret saying that.
Right. And then you can see all of these they'll take it off like literally the second he's out.
Yeah.
But then he gives $10 billion to his own peace board that he gets to be the chairman for life on and control. Right. Like, what does all that do to people's trust in institutions?
Yeah. So an additional function that putting people who are unqualified or doing crazy things that nobody should accept, an additional function that serves is that the people who have already emotionally committed to him have no choice but to dig their heels in deeper. Because if they have already intertwined their identity with this, right, the more crazy stuff that you make them accept, the deeper they're dug in, right? Because now they're having to twist their perspective into this reality that he's creating, where all the stuff that he's chosen to do is reasonable. And by the end of the day, they don't even know how they feel anymore, you know, because they've had to adopt this reality where putting your face on buildings makes sense, and, you know, where Kash Patel should be the director of the FBI. Like, you've had to go so far away from what your own natural personal perspective was that now you've adopted someone else's reality because your identity has been intertwined with that, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. And so if we're there, then the question is, I mean, because I did work for the Lincoln Project and Republican Voters Against Trump.
Love the Lincoln Project. They're
amazing.
Amazing.
Yes. And, you know, like I did a lot for those guys during the election, because, you know, here you're in Georgia, we're here in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Two relative battleground states.
For sure.
Right. But how do the Democrats come out of that and like recapture some of those people that are like, this sucks?
Yeah. So I think that there are actually, first of all, realize that there are a lot more people like that than they're willing to admit. Stop focusing on that one third of people who don't vote and start focusing on the defectors, because if they don't, I believe Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, and Nick Fuentes are going to like band together in a supervillains group and scoop up all the defectors from Trump's party who, you know, they don't like Trump for one reason or another, whether it's because they feel like he's supporting Israel too much, or because they want people deported faster, or whatever it is. That's they see an opportunity there to advance their agenda, which is Christian nationalism. And they're going to pick up those defectors. So what we need is a soft landing place. Like as this coalition of theirs that all came together to get Trump elected, that still have very different interests, as they came together to get him elected, they're going to naturally start fraying apart. And so we need to create a soft landing place for them to be able to land where they feel accepted and understood. So it's going to be our job to explain reality as it is to them in a way that they understand it. So it's really going to be all about messaging.
Okay, so you just created like a million other questions. Do you got one more segment in you?
I got plenty. Let's go.
All right, right on. We're going to stick around for one more segment here with Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take. Stick around. We'll be right back here on The Rational Revolution. Thanks.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I'm a walk, I'm a march on the regular, painted white, black, blue. Love, forgive me, I've been running, running blind in truth. I'm a rain.
Welcome back. One more segment here on The Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, and we are chatting with Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take. Again, you got to find her on the socials because she's a really great resource for you. If you're kind of looking to put thought into words, you know what I mean? Because we talk about messaging, and it's so hard. We were talking offline about how, you know, I'm sure, you know, with the candidates that you were advising and candidates I will always advise too, as you have to speak in soundbite and, you know, 7 to 10 seconds. So it's so cool to not have to do that. You know,
it's so good to not have to do that. It's the worst.
So you were talking about like the future of where people go.
Yeah.
Do you think that like the Republican Party is going to splinter and it will be a little bit of a, like a Marjorie Taylor Greene versus JD Vance?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Trump is the figure that everyone coalesced around. So if he's not there, whether he, you know, lives out his life or has a third term or whatever it is, at some point he won't be there.
We can't do that. Like,
what do you mean?
He can't do the third.
Oh yeah. No, he can't. But listen, every single thing that Steve Bannon has said that he was going to try to do, he's tried to do. Right. So I mean, he can't. You're totally right. I know it's terrifying, but everybody who follows me knows that there's like a list of people that I would like willingly go to jail to harass publicly. I hope that their pants rip in public and everyone laughs at them. And like numero uno would be Tucker Carlson. But like JD Vance is up there too, and it's because of Peter Thiel. I mean, if he is the plant in the White House for big tech, and if he becomes president, we will become essentially like a monarchy.
Why is that dangerous?
I mean, what Peter Thiel has wanted for a very long time, and that's J.D. Vance's primary benefactor. That's, he took him under his wing right after law school. Like, he made him into a big tech investor, helped him start his own company. He gave him the money he needed to run for the Senate. He actually gave him the largest donation from one individual to another in the history of the United States of America for a Senate race. And actually that's how I got my following originally, was because I started telling the story of J.D. Vance and Peter Thiel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
okay,
people didn't know it. And I'm like, no, this guy doesn't believe in democracy. He has a stupid amount of money. Like, he has a villain origin story, and now he has a plant in the White House who essentially what these guys believe is that not all people are of equal worth, right? Which is the same thing that the Christian nationalists believe and the Catholic integralists believe. And the MAGA folks believe about immigrants, right? Like, this is the joining, this is the thread that threads them all together. And for, right, that's what brought them all together. But at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to win out. And right now it's looking like the Tech Bros as long as JD Vance ascends. Now, some people don't like JD Vance because JD Vance doesn't want to advance a Christian nationalist agenda, right? Peter Thiel's gay. He doesn't have those same principles. Like his wife is Indian. He makes exceptions in places that they wouldn't. And right. So as that coalition breaks apart, which is just the natural thing to do after groups have all come together in unity. Once you win, now you're going to start differentiating yourselves. You know, they're going to have different leaders that are going to crop up. And because the Tech Bros don't believe that people like you and me, who are just regular people, should have a voice in their government, because they think that we're all stupid / not born, like divinely chosen to have a 200 IQ, or divinely chosen to be in a family where we have a gajillion dollars, then we don't deserve to have a voice in our government. So, you know, that's really, I think the way the Democrats can fight back is by telling that story, because I've been building this for years, where I've been finding the specifics, like the truth about how they feel and who their ideologues are and what books they've published and what pamphlets they've published, because all this stuff has been building for a long time and the truth is out there. It's just, I don't know if the media is afraid of it or what, but the more that truth gets out there, the more people can actually make decisions for themselves.
What can people do to fight this stuff?
So the first thing I think that they can do is not allow the president to divide us, because that's what they want. The more we accuse someone of being something that they're not, the harder this gets for us. Because, like, for example, with my Newsmax audience, I would say a good fifth of them are truly good people who have just been indoctrinated since day one of their lives. Like, they've just been indoctrinated and they don't like what's going on, right? They don't like their employees getting snatched up in the streets. They don't like that. And so when you have a conversation with somebody, speak to their heart, right? Assume the best about them. And I know it's really hard. And like I said, I had to practice it for months, right? Where you just assume the best about them and then ask them questions from there. So what you can do is, right, don't write people off. Assume the best about them and try to talk with them in a way that's human to human, because the more we do that, the better off we're going to be and the more chance we have of winning and getting rid of these guys.
Yeah. How can people find you?
Yes. So,
and help you out and help spread your message.
Thank you. Yes. So it's Maddie's Hot Take, MADDIE. And I'm on all social media. I'm on Instagram. I've got a small following, you know, on Instagram and TikTok, but I've got like no following on X or on YouTube. So I could really, really use some more followers there.
All right.
I'd be honored if people would go and check that out. It's all the same videos. And I'm on Substack too for Madeline Somerville.
Nice.
And yeah, just if you guys can check out a video, if you like it, share with a friend. That's all I'd ask.
I do that all the time. Yeah. So, and it's seriously, it's like, yeah, follow her. You'll thank me later. So I seriously appreciate you hanging out with us. I hope you come back. Yeah. And
thank you so much.
Yeah. Don't be a stranger. So Madeline Somerville from Maddie's Hot Take on the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you. May the last one burn into flames. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.